Hello, everyone, and welcome back to I Love This Terrible Game, the podcast where we talk about video games and then some good video games and some bad video games that we still enjoy, even though they're bad. Today, we are joined, as always, by Brandy.
Hey!
And we also have a new friend, CJ, correct?
Yep, hello.
Mm-hmm. All right, that is CJ. So yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to learn a little bit more about CJ, and then we're going to talk about some games that were very good up until the very end of them. So we'll see if anybody else joins us, but for now, it's just the three of us. And we are going to start off, as always, by talking about the video games that we are currently playing. And I think I'll start because I don't have a super ton to talk about. I continue to play Hades. I'm enjoying it a lot more than I did. I thought I was going to give up on it. It got to that point in a roguelike where I was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. But then I broke through that wall and ended up, you know, starting to enjoy it. I like the writing. I really like the look of it. You know, I just had to pick a new weapon and try that. So I still haven't beaten it even once, but we'll see how that goes. But okay, Brandy, you're playing Hades too, or have you played any more Hades?
I'm mostly still playing Hades. I've done a lot better than you have. Sorry, I sound like a dick. I've gotten all the way to at least beating a run once. I've been less frustrated with the game than you have. I think I just have more patience for one, for that type of game. And two, there's a lot of collecting kind of things and raising stat kind of things. It's a thing that I kind of enjoy. So yeah.
The thing about it is I'm the same way with like beat 'em ups, like a, you know, an arcade beat 'em up, or, you know, sort of any kind of hack and slash, you know, action game. I'm always like, I get to a point where I'm pretty good at it. And then I'm like, I don't know that I like this enough to get good enough at it to, you know, keep going with it. So that seems to be my problem with those. Cause I do, you know, there's a lot of games where, you know, I can just blow through them. And everybody's like, how can you do that? I can still beat the original NES Contra with three lives.
And yeah, it's, I can't, like, imagine doing that.
Yeah, it's like, it's just one of those things that I liked enough to get good at. And these hack and slashes, I just don't like enough to power my way to get really good at them. But I mean, that's, again, personal preference. And then the other thing that I've been playing and really enjoying is Psychonauts 2.
I still got to start that.
Did either of you play any of the old Psychonauts?
I played the original one. I actually got Raz's voice actor to sign my PS2 copy of it at a convention.
I never looked, but is the guy who does Raz's voice, is that the same guy who does like Invader Zim and the alien from Destroy All Humans?
Yep.
One of the angry beavers?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Richard Horvitz. Yes.
Okay. I thought that was him, but I wasn't sure. And then every time I thought about it, I didn't have my phone handy to look it up. Yeah. Very, very fun. Like, I love everything that guy's in. So that is super cool. Ooh, I also have some signed video game memorabilia from a voice actor. Maybe we should do that as a as a topic sometime. So the new one is really cool. It does this thing that I love where it doesn't take forever to onboard you into the world. It just assumes that you played the first game and the VR game. Like, the stuff that happens in that VR game is talked about kind of a lot. So, and there's no, like, you know, there's no, like, long opening video to tell you all of the stuff that happened. It's just like, this is what's going on in this world right now. Figure it out. And I love that.
I didn't play the VR game. I don't have a VR machine.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a VR game.
Yeah, it's called Rhombus of Ruin. It's really weird and fun, but I didn't expect them to reference it as much as they do. But
I'll just watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube. But yeah, it does this cool thing where, you know, it just sets you down in the world where we are now. You still have all of your powers from the end of the first one. You know, you don't have to re-get all of your powers. It does that infamous, the same thing that they did in Infamous. It's just like, all right, here's where we are now. Go. You do get some more powers, and you get to upgrade the powers that you already had. But really, in Psychonauts, the story is the thing. And this has an excellent story. You know, very likable characters. It's all the people you know from the first one. And a couple of extra ones. But yeah, they look great. I mean, Tim Schafer, like, I was trying to think of a game that I don't like that Tim Schafer did, but I couldn't think of one. Maybe.
The only thing I could think of would be those Kinect, like, Sesame Street games, but I don't think we were the intended audience for those.
No. No. I also never had a Kinect, so I wouldn't have been able to play those anyway.
Yeah, I'm just guessing that they wouldn't have a whole lot in those games for people.
Was that Tim Schafer himself, or was that just a Double Fine thing?
No, it was Double Fine. I don't know if that was Tim Schafer himself. Nothing against Double Fine for doing that. I understand.
Yeah, completely. No. I mean, that was when they were going bankrupt. Broke. And they needed money.
Yeah,
so.
We need Sesame Street money.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll forgive him for that. Yeah, and actually, the only thing that I came up with that was even close to me not liking it was Broken Age, that game that came out.
I still
out.
Haven't finished the second one.
Yeah, it's
a game meaning to play.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine, but they're not Double Fine.
I see what you did there.
Sorry. Sorry, everyone. So yeah, we're playing Psychonauts. The gameplay is very similar to the original. I haven't found anything. I mean, it's not easy, but it's not super hard. It's not like, you know, the meat. What was that stage?
Meat circus.
The meat circus. Yes. Nothing even approaching that. But like the first one, I'm going to play through it because that story is so interesting. The characters are so, you know, enjoyable. And it looks so insane. You don't have any maps, but all the levels are like very varied. Really cool, like really cool game to look at. If you do have like a tooth thing though, that first stage is disgusting. It's like the platforms are like gums with just teeth sticking out of it just randomly. It's kind of gross.
I love how you don't get the lava level and the snow level in that game. It's like, no, you get the insane asylum, the meat circus, the board game.
Yeah, that's what I'm into. Like, I get it. You know, back in the day, that's the snow level and the lava level, the Super Mario Brothers standards was crazy for back then, but they really haven't gone out of their way to make it any different, and that's what I like. That's what I like about Tim Schafer's games, is that he's not afraid to try something completely different and completely insane. And I like, even if the game's not great, I'm still enjoying it because of how different and interesting it always is. So yeah, that's
just
pretty much
for it right now.
What's that?
I'm just avoiding Psychonaut 2 spoilers right now.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to get into it. I'm also not like super far into the game. But yeah, that first stage is just gross, but it's also just the tutorial. So, you know, no real story spoilers there. But I would definitely at least read the Wikipedia on the first two games, because like I said, they're not shying away from incorporating all of that stuff that happened, but they're also not explaining it. So read up on what has already happened in the Psychonauts universe before you start playing that. All right, and that's it. And I'm going to hand it over to Brand. You have been playing some stuff.
Probably. Well, like I said, it's mostly Hades. I installed Psychonauts 2 because I backed that game. You know, I've backed an endless amount of video games, so I will get around to it. I played some Myst because a new version of Myst came out, and I'm like, oh man, I played a lot of Myst in my teenage years, but we'll get back to Myst.
Yeah,
here,
we'll be talking about Myst later.
So yeah, I don't have too much to say other than what we already said about Hades, so.
Cool. Alright, so Hades, good. Psychonauts, good. We need to get some people on here who aren't playing the exact same things at the exact same time. All right, CJ, have you been playing anything?
Yes, I've not been playing Hades and Psychonauts 2.
Cool.
I've been playing Great Ace Attorney Chronicles.
Okay.
Or old school Phoenix Wright, if you want to call it that. It's like, I love the Phoenix Wright games, but I do not believe them to be at all accurate representations of anything.
I would
it's
hope
like,
not.
A murder happened. It's been blamed on you. You're going into court the next day. So have you talked to any of the witnesses? Nope. Have you shared all the evidence with both sides? Nope. We'll bring it up in court as we need it.
Let's put a parrot on the stand.
Yep. It's like, I'm in the first game, still in case 4. And it's like, okay, so someone was attacked. Have we talked to them yet? Nope. Are we going to wait for them to get out of the hospital so we can talk to them? And maybe clear some things up? Nope, we're going on trial right now. And it kind of reminds me of that scene at the start of Hot Fuzz when Simon Pegg is like in the room with all the inspectors. He goes, you do know that window is broken from the inside, right? And they all look and go, what?
Yeah, I...
Well, that sounds like a Phoenix Wright game, though.
Yes.
Yeah, The only experience I have with Phoenix Wright was that Phoenix Wright Professor Layton crossover, which I never even finished. The Phoenix Wright stuff always seemed... You may have nailed it right on the head, like playing that stuff, and it's like, this doesn't... Because I like Danganronpa, but that's also set in an insane setting. Like, this bear is making you kill people to get out of this prison school that they made for you, and it's like, I can suspend my disbelief for some of this stuff, but like you said, this is, you know, a real-life Earth court setting, and they're also doing that same sort of, you know... Of course.
Apparently it is really meant to be a parody of the actual Japanese court system. So a lot of that is actually true to Japanese court. If you don't know, in Japan, you are guilty until proven innocent. Mm. That's how it works there. So that gives you an idea. A lot of things in court, they're run differently. And so an actual lawyer actually helped write the original Phoenix Wright.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like in Phoenix Wright, you were guilty until not only are you proven innocent, you have to prove someone else is guilty first.
Yeah, in Japan, something like if you go to court, you're guilty like 98%. It's like astronomical. Wow. If you end up in court, you're basically guilty. So.
Yeah, but even better, this takes place in olden times. So
yes, like, it's got Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
No.
No, it's Herlock Sholmes now.
Yes, there we go. Because they couldn't use the copyrighted name.
In Japan, he's still Sherlock Holmes in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want
to... It's public domain by now.
Some of it is. I actually just heard this. If you use the actual, like, literary character the way he is, like, a heroin addict, you know, very cold and like a jerk, then you can call him Sherlock Holmes because that is in the public domain. But if, you know, you want to make your own twist on the character, then somebody does own the rights. I think it's whoever made those Robert Downey Jr. movies. So like Sony or whatever owns the rights. It's some crazy rights thing. So you either have to make Sherlock Holmes exactly like he is in the books, or you have to pay for that name if you want to do something different with it.
None
of us know enough about copyright.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, I heard it on a podcast, so that's the extent of my knowledge.
And of course, Watson's an anime girl now.
What?
We're kind of expecting that.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You got to have somebody be the anime girl.
They're a cute animal?
Is there a cute animal? The second chapter kind of had one for a little bit, but not that long.
Okay, there's no sidekick animal then.
No, there's no missile like in Ghost Trick either.
Missile! Yeah. That's a game everyone should play.
Yes, oh, I love that game. I like Ghost Trick and Phoenix Wright.
It's by the same creator as Phoenix Wright. It was a DS game called Ghost Trick. I think it also came out in the iOS. Mm-hmm. It is an adventure game that uses the stylus for the DS very well. It's like a very perfect touchscreen game. It's also a mystery game. It is awesome.
Okay.
It's very good. Probably, I definitely highly recommend.
Probably costs $500 for a copy at this point.
For the DS game, yeah, it's over $100. But you could get the iOS game for like, I don't know, 10 or something.
Hmm. Is it on Android?
No, unfortunately. Yeah, I know.
I used to have
again,
one of those.
It's just that inflated video game market, because like a few years ago, you could buy that game for like $10.
Yeah. I need to get one of those. I used to have a thing that slid into the DS cart slot, and then it had an SD card in it, and you could just pirate games.
Load it up.
I need to get that thing back.
Oh, it's $126 right now.
Jesus H.
That's complete in box, though.
That's not even that bad.
Loose, it's still $80, though.
Loose for just the cartridge, it's $80.
Well, I mean, I think for DS games, while not as bad as, like, GBA and Game Boy games, a lot of people threw away those plastic boxes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not as bad as the cardboard from... But also, Game Boy Advance shit is, like, really expensive now, even loose. Like, I was looking for copies of Zero Mission and Fusion. Like, I wanted to play some of those Metroid games on my actual, you know, Game Boy instead of the emulator. And I'm like, those things are over $100 loose. And
yes,
it's like,
that
what?
I can...
The copy that I had of Zero Mission had a little sticker on it that I got from GameStop for $5. And that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I know. It's the last few years. It's just gone off the deep end.
Oh, these collectors.
And then I also beat Spider-Man Miles Morales. I had to play it on PS4 because I can't find a PS5 to buy.
Yeah, me neither.
The fastest selling console of all time to bots.
Mm-hmm. So how's Miles Morales?
Did you like the first one? It's kind of more of the first one.
Cool.
But now the cat.
It's a lot shorter, though.
Does it have a better... Well, not better. I'm not going to say better, because I liked the story in the first one, but I think Miles Morales as a character is more interesting than Peter Parker as a character. He has, like, cool powers. Does he have, like, the cool, like, electricity and invisibility powers?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, they okay. kept that.
All right. Yeah.
Don't get them off the bat, but, you know, it's a game. They'll give them to you.
Yeah. Cool. But the story, good, interesting, like, yep. Fun story.
Yep, I do think the first games was better, but also this game's shorter, so that kind of, you know.
I'm into it. I would prefer a shorter version of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because that game holy moly, was that thing long.
Yeah, and they just kind of copy-pasted all the, you know, the whole city from the first game. I don't really blame them. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, no.
That's every Yakuza game ever, so.
The only difference is that this one's set in winter.
Okay. What are you going to do? It's New York. Like, it's New York City. Unless they made the entirety of the city, there wasn't much more they could do to that city to make it anything different than what it was. But I had fun just roaming around that city. That was not my favorite Spider-Man game that ever came out, but definitely the most fun one to traverse. I love traversing that New York City in that Marvel's Spider-Man.
Yeah. One thing I noticed that I liked was that from a gameplay perspective, they basically swing exactly the same through the city. Like, his movements are different, and he falls different with different styles and stuff, so it still looks and feels different, even though control-wise it's pretty much the same.
Cool. That's... I mean, I don't know why anybody would would have any reason to complain about that, because that first one was...
The only complaint that I would have is, why did they change Peter Parker's model? Because they changed it for the PS5 remaster.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that threw me off. I was like, oh wait, that's Peter Parker's Spider-Man. I forgot they changed it.
Yeah.
Like, why did they do that again?
Yeah, I mean, at least for myself, I don't think I would have noticed, because it's been so long since I played that first one that I probably wouldn't have noticed it unless I saw the back-to-back. But the character model is much, much uglier for this one. And I don't understand why they would have done that. Maybe to make him look more like...
I think it makes him look too young. I kind of like that he was like more of an unsuspecting, that you wouldn't think that guy's, you know, Peter Parker Spider-Man, you know? Yeah. I kind of like that in the original PS4 one. So that's what I'm playing.
Okay. No, cool. That was pretty easy. Just, yeah.
Thanks.
So that gives us more time for our topic today, which we will talk about when we come back from this break.
This isn't just a cult. This is a cabal. This is an assemblage. This is Hurly Burly. This is disquiet. This is poetry. This is absurd. This is surreal. This is fiction, reality, and bedlam. This is indie music. This is art. This is treasure. This is a podcast. This is regret, elation, mysticism, headaches, heartaches, harpoons, and merit badges. This is perfect for every situation. Except for, this isn't just a cult, a work of real fiction. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Bullhorn, Overcast, CastBox, TuneIn, Radio Public, Podcast Addict, Breaker. Is there anything called Oracle Juice? There should be. If there is, we're there. How about SauceCast? Is that a thing?
Maybe.
Can I find it on Mega Megaphone? Probably. Amplitrumpet? Foghorn Cast? Mixipod? Dave's podcast thing? Ultra Megacast? Pod like you mean it?
Podigy?
This isn't just a cult. A work of real fiction.
Welcome back to I Love This Terrible Game. we're still talking about video games here, because that's what we do. Right now, so there was a catalyst for this topic, and I'll talk about that one first, and then we'll sort of roundtable other ones that we have. But we're going to be talking about video games that were great all the way up into the up until the end, when it almost like gets to the point of ruining the game because it's so bad. So I think Chris was the one to suggest this because we both had the very same reaction to Resident Evil 8. Now, we are going to be talking about the endings of all of these games, so I'm just going to put a spoiler warning up on this whole entire segment, because, yeah, we're going to be talking about the ends of all these games. So if you don't want to hear about the ends of games, turn it off, or just, you know, finish a freaking game every once in a while. Natalie. So the one that we were going to be talking about, I think was Chris's, was Resident Evil 8. And that game rules. I thought up from the very beginning, I didn't think it was as good as 7, but it's definitely very cool. It's a very, very cool game. But the ending is so, so bad. Did anybody here finish Resident Evil 8 or play it at all?
I've played one Resident Evil game, the first one, and only about a half hour.
Wow, okay.
I played all a right. little bit of Resident Evil 4 back in the day.
Ugh.
That's it.
Ugh. Well, Resident Evil 7 was set in a backwoods, sort of mansion, but, all dilapidated, with a crazy family living in it. It's very it's a straight-up horror game. And then, like what Resident Evil 4 did to Resident Evil, 8 was sort of an action game, but it also had, horror sections, and it had a lot of cool set pieces, a lot of good boss fights. And then at the very end of it, you find out that this guy that you've been for the past two games is died at the beginning of the first game and was taken over by this mold, and you were basically just mold. You were a mold man. And it was so fucking stupid. I put the controller down and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. You're telling me that the events of the last two games were all done by this dead man. And he also impregnated his wife in that time after he was dead and made out of mold. And it was just so, so stupid.
Sorry,
I have so many questions about that.
Go ahead and ask them. I probably
how does mold impregnate?
I don't know. Is the thing it, we
like,
have
was
this
it
big
mold
thing?
Sperm, or was it mold, you know, mold spores?
Yeah, that I had the same. That was my first question. What is his sperm mold too? Yeah. Stupid. God, so fucking stupid. And then his daughter that was born, at the very, very end of the game, you play a little section of it as his daughter, who is, ready to take over the family business of killing Zom. And apparently she has superpowers and stuff. Whatever. I was like, this sucks. So, yeah, that was. And like I said, Chris suggested that one. It actually wasn't the one that I thought of. But it was definitely the catalyst for this whole thing because, God, what a stupid fucking ending. Still mad about it. All right.
Fair enough.
Let me calm down for a second there. And then, so why doesn't somebody else tell me about one of theirs?
All right, so I was telling CJ about this the other day. Fallout 3, now they did go back and apparently fix this, but have you played Fallout 3, Mike?
Oh, just 6 or 7 times.
Okay, so you probably know what I'm talking about, where at the very end, the main character has to sacrifice their life and get radiated to death, even though you have 2 companions who would totally live or in fact maybe be healed by radiation.
Yeah.
To do the same thing for you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have, the main character wouldn't have to die, and that's one of the dumbest things that the game forces you to do. Like, what? Why?
Yeah, I fortunately only started playing Fallout 3 with one of the Game of the Year editions.
Okay.
So I never had to really go through that. Without knowing that I was going to wake back up immediately.
Okay, yes. No, in the original version, you just die at the end. That's great. There's no choice. Like, you know,
yeah,
a
you
game
just,
full of choices doesn't give you a choice.
Yep, you just go into that. And you have a super mutant companion.
Yes.
Who would be...
And a ghoul companion,
yeah,
too.
And the super mutant... Yeah. You did send into a radiated area earlier that I think
yes.
was more radiated than that...
Yeah, there's no reason for
yeah.
it. It's just dumb. Like, they were like, well, this is the ending we've written. That's it. That's done. We're done with it. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, no more forethought on that. Like, and, you know, obviously they went back and fixed that because a lot of people complained about it.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Why do I have to do this? This is really obvious because that was one of the first things I thought of was like, well, how do I send my companion to do this for me so I don't die and there's no way to do that?
Yeah, and you definitely spend a lot more time in Fallout 3 than you did in Resident Evil 8. Like,
yes.
Resident Evil 8 is a...
I mean, I really enjoyed Fallout 3.
Yeah, so did I.
I had a lot of great memories of that game, but that was just so dumb. Just so dumb. Like, did no one think about that
yeah.
at all?
That's like a lot of people's complaints about Mass Effect 3 as well. It was just like a game full of choices and you just die at the end. Which
yeah.
I actually, like, I had a YouTube video game review show back when Mass Effect 3 came out. And we did a video on how the Mass Effect 3 ending wasn't really that bad. And it was by far our most, like, watched video. And
yeah, I didn't even get to it because, like, everyone's like, it's terrible. And I was like, fine.
Yeah, no, it's not terrible. It's actually, like, I thought it was a pretty fitting end for Shepard because they did sacrifice their life for, you know, the rest of humanity, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, you're right. Like, you didn't have a...
choice.
You didn't have a choice to do that, but you also didn't have anyone in your party, like you said, for Fallout 3, that could have easily navigated
yes.
that thing. Because who's your super mutant companion in 3?
Oh, I can't remember. It's the person who's like an old lady super mutant.
No, that one's
nope.
that one's New Vegas.
Is the
old lady one, but. It's just like a regular big super mutant, but he's also very smart, so he could have done what you did
yes.
in there. So you're right. And I don't know about the ghoul one. I don't...
Yeah, there's definitely a ghoul one, too.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, that's very stupid, but unfortunately, I can't get as worked up as I did about the Resident Evil 8 stupid ending because, like I said, I only started playing when the Game of the Year edition came out, so I knew I was going to be okay when I got finished with that game.
Yeah, so there's a ghoul called Charon and the super mutant Fox. Like Guy Fox.
That's right. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. No, Fallout 3 is really cool. Like, I actually always enjoyed the Fallout games more than I like the Elder Scrolls games, which might be blasphemy, but...
It's okay. Like, I have... Well, I've never finished the original 2 Fallout games. I have played a decent amount of those. And then I got into Fallout 3. New Vegas is still my favorite.
Oh yeah, but New Vegas.
But I had never
rules.
Actually played any of those. I'm thinking of those Morrowind games.
Yeah.
I had not actually played any of those. And so finally I got around to playing Skyrim. And I maybe played 40 hours of it, but I don't know. I just stopped playing at some point. I was just like, I'm bored.
Yeah, I got Elder Scrolls games ruined for me with Oblivion, which okay. Everybody seemed to like for some reason, but it had the most boring, repetitive story campaign I've ever seen. Like, the story missions were all doing the same exact thing over and over again, and it just sucked the life out of that game for me. Any opinions on Fallout, CJ?
I did not play them. Oh. I can't play some of those games because they make me motion sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I can't vulture for that one.
You have no idea how long it took me to get through Portal. And that's not a long game.
Oh, boy.
I couldn't play it for
yeah,
more than...
Yeah, but a game's going to make you motion sick. Yeah. That's a game that's going to make you motion sick.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to get the achievements, because there is an achievement for falling a certain amount, and it's like you shoot the portal in the ceiling, the one on the floor, and you just sort of
falling.
Go until... Very few games make me sick anymore. The only thing I have a problem with is the, like, Wolfenstein original Doom with the flat sprites that move strangely when you move.
Yeah.
That always makes me sick, but otherwise I'm usually okay. But even when I was doing that in Portal, I was getting there.
Yeah.
And I love the Portal games. Like, you can't see this at home, but I do have Portal tattoos.
I love the game, but I couldn't play it again. It took me forever to get through it. I can't even watch someone else play it without getting motion sick.
Oh, that's rough.
I can't watch speedruns of it. No way. No
oh,
way
no. Okay, do you have a game that you liked up until the end?
Well, so this was actually not for a story reason. It was for gameplay reasons. And I'm thinking of Tearaway. I played it on the PS4 because I never had a Vita. I only got a PSTV, and that game you have to have the Vita. So part of the objective of the game was to kind of show off what gimmicks you could do with the Vita. And it took, like, quite a ways into the game before it finally let you jump with the A button. And, you know, it was doing some pretty cool, like, integrated things with the controller and, like, the touchpad and stuff. And, you know, it had a light story going on that was pretty cool. And, you know, then I reached the end of the story and I'm like, yeah, this was a pretty good game. I enjoyed that. And then it just kept going. And I was like, so I guess you had more gameplay mechanics and you had to shove them in here? Come hell or high water, this, like, now motion control game play mechanic that you wanted is suddenly in here now? But we already reached the end of the story. I felt like we hit a high point on both the gameplay, where you had kind of the final exam thing. We hit a high point on the gameplay and the story, and everything was resolved. And there was like a third of the game left, and it just kept going on and on and on. Like, please end. Like, I'm playing this because I think you're going to end soon. But no, every time you thought it was going to end, it had some other terrible idea that they came up with. It's like, no. If you had cut the game short here, like, at this natural spot, it would have been an instant classic. This last third has soured my opinions of the preceding two-thirds of the game.
Yeah, I definitely...
And there was no real story there.
Yeah, I definitely have those types of games, too, that just, you know, kept going after they shouldn't have. I didn't...
Yes,
I own Tearaway on the Vita. I've heard nothing but good things about it. Maybe...
That's because everybody blocked out the last third. If you just play to where you think the story ends, then I think you're fine. But I kept going on it because I was like, it's going to end soon, right? Is it going to end after this puzzle? Oh my god, there's another puzzle here? And then there was three more after that. I don't know how long it lasted, but I'm pretty sure I looked at my gameplay clock and it was about a third of the game.
Wow.
it was entirely too long. Like, I could forgive it not giving you the A button to jump till like halfway through the good part of the game, because it was kind of like for story reasons. Where he was like, oh, it was just being stubborn and didn't want to jump for some reason. I'm like, okay, whatever. At least you had built your puzzles around not needing that. And, you know, it's not like you made it. It's like, you know, they did the puzzles good until then. And then the last third, it's like, no, we had an idea. Someone had an idea. Just shove it in this area.
Oh.
You don't care that this motion controlled part of it is terrible.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't want to go back and play it ever again.
Yeah. That game was designed to be a Vita exclusive. And I think it became, like, one of the only, like, well-reviewed games on Vita. So they were like, we got to get this on the thing that people have.
Yes. So I did play the PS4 version. I had no real complaints with the controls on that. I don't have the Vita to compare it with, of course. But
yeah,
that and Gravity Rush was the other, like, big Vita game, and they both got ported to PS4.
Yeah. And
like, I thought Gravity Rush was a bit long, too, but, you know, it wasn't nearly as offensive as Tearaway was.
Yeah, Gravity Rush did wear out its welcome a little bit. I played both of those on... Well, I played maybe an hour of Tearaway, and I did get through Gravity Rush, which I really liked, and then I bought the PS4 version and never played it. Yeah, so my second one was, hopefully somebody else has played this one, but it was Fable 3. No?
Nope. I've never played a Fable game either.
Okay, nope. Well, I used to be very... I didn't play a big variety of games. This is not true. I started out playing a big variety of games up until, like, the Super Nintendo era, and I sort of skipped ahead to the PlayStation 2.
Okay.
For a while. I did eventually go back and get a bunch of PlayStation 1, like, generation games into my knowledge base. But there was about a 10-year, maybe not that long, 7-year time when I didn't play many games. And when I came back, it was like halfway through the PlayStation 2. And that was for Guitar Hero. Like, I was big into rhythm games. Still am. But I sort of only played rhythm games for a while after that. And then... my wife actually got Fable 2 for Christmas 1 year, and I ended up playing that way more than she did. I was obsessed with that game. So I went back, played Fable 1, and then Fable 3 came out, and I could not have been more excited. And Fable 3 gets a lot of flack because of this ending. But up until that point, it plays a lot like Fable 2, with improved combat, and like, it looks really cool. It's like steampunk, and, you know, it's a really cool looking game. It's a very interesting game. It has a great story. And then the ending hits, and you have been working your way up as like the king or queen of Albion, for a while, and this has been your whole game, sort of your rise to power. You find out that there's this thing that's going to kill everyone, and you either need a bunch of money to stop it and everyone's going to hate you, or you can keep going the way you're going and everyone will love you, but you won't have enough money to stop this thing, and then a lot of people are going to die. And it doesn't give you a choice to, like, tell people why you need all of their money. So you just have to take their money and have them hate you instead of being like, look, this is why we need this money. We have to stop this thing from happening. or else we're all going to die. So the other part about it is it has weird time jumps, and it doesn't tell you before your last jump. So if you don't have the money that you need and you, you know, move forward, you might go into that last battle without what you need for that battle. And it's, God, so disappointing. And then it's one of those things where it's like, all right, well, maybe I'll play through Fable 3 again. I know what's going on this time. But then you just think about that ending and you're like, fuck, I'm going to have to do this again. This sucks. I'm just not going to play it anymore. So, yeah, it's just a great, it's like lighthearted, you know, easy on the mechanics role playing game. And then it just goes into this weird, like, resources sim that doesn't make any sense. And then whatever. And then everybody dies, or else everyone lives. And then they're like, we still hate you, though. So, yeah, the ending of that game was absolutely miserable. I'm depressed. This is a depressing, like, I didn't think this was going to be a depressing topic, but I'm not having a good time talking about this because I'm thinking about these games that I really enjoyed up until the very frickin' end of them, which ruined the whole experience. And now everybody has two more, or everybody has another one, so.
Yeah. So my other pick was, this isn't quite the end point of the game, but it's pretty far into the game. Tales of Symphonia. I originally played it on the GameCube. This whole game, so, you know, it's an anime RPG. You know, it's not just, you know, the JRPG. It's very anime. But one of the themes in that game that I really liked for a good proportion of this game is that nobody is truly right or wrong. And then you get 75% of the way through the game, and the main characters are like, bad guy, you are wrong and we are right. So we just have to beat you. And that's the way it is for like the next 25% of the game for the ending. And it's just very frustrating because we just spent like 3/4 of this game being told constantly as like the main theme that, you know, no one's truly right or wrong. So, but we couldn't figure out how to put that in an ending. So, you know, well, now we've decided somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And that drove me crazy. Now, somehow I still finished this game, but I was very angry, like, the whole rest of the game. I think I just finished it out of spite.
I think Tales gets away with having pretty fun gameplay, though.
Yes.
I think that's...
And it is a fun game. It has fun characters, if you like, you know, like the anime game style. But yeah, that just drove me absolutely bonkers. And I feel like no one else really cared about that, but holy crap, that just drove me nuts. Like, everyone's like, eh, I'm like, ah, nope, it's like the main theme of the whole thing, well, and then it's just like, ah, we couldn't figure out how to write that, so,
yeah.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. You just reminded me of another one, which I had sort of the same complaint, and like you said, nobody else seemed to care, but it was Dragon Age 2, and everybody didn't like Dragon Age 2 because it was like copy-paste dungeons and, you know, you were inside of caves for most of the game. And I'm like, I don't care about that. But the thing that drove me crazy about that one was it had 3 acts. And through each of the acts, it was you were working with one of the two, what do you want to call them? Like, groups, whatever. You're working with one of, like, either the mages or the Dragon Age people. It's been a long time since I played it. But in each of the 3 acts, I was working with a group the entire act. And then they only wrote 1 ending for each act. So even if you were working with them the entire time, they would just turn on you. And that was the end. Like, they would just turn on you for no reason, just so that the ending that they wrote could happen. And I was like, that first time it happened, I was like, damn, that sucked. And then the second time I'm like, oh, you fooled me twice. And I'm like, surely you're not going to do the same thing a third. They absolutely did the third, oh, the wow, same thing for the third act. And I was like, and each time I was working with the one that turned on you. And I'm like, fuck, this sucks so bad. So I feel your pain on that one, even though I never played a Tales game.
I feel like the problem with Symphonia was that it was a lot of people's first Tales game in the West, and it was one of the GameCube's, like, five RPGs.
I had played Tales of Destiny on the PlayStation, so, you know, first.
I think that kind of colored some people, because Symphonia was my first Tales game.
It's a fun game. I just, you know, it's one of the few games that I felt like really had like a great theme going for it, and it really talked about it over and over again, and then it's just like, nah, dog!
Yeah, then it just threw it away.
Just kidding.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, that sucks. You got a last one, CJ?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Kingdom Hearts 3. Granted, after having how many years of build-up? Much like Psychonauts, don't go into Kingdom Hearts 3 thinking that it's like you didn't just have
it'll
to play
make
one.
Any
and,
sense.
Yes, you didn't just have to play 1 and 2. You also had to play Chain of Memories, 365 over 2 days or whatever that was, Birth by Sleep, and Dream Drop Distance. So you actually had to play Kingdom Hearts 1 through 7 before you could play 3.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it obviously kind of wasn't going to live up to the hype on that one.
Yeah. And they did go, I mean, they did go pretty hard on re-releasing all of those before 3 came out.
Because I think they realized no one was going to understand what was going on.
I thought it was pretty decent of them to finally put them all on the same system as well.
Yeah, because
before they needed a PS2, a DS, a GBA. I love how they released one of the two vital interquels between 1 and 2 after 2 on a completely unrelated system. You need a DS, a PSP, a 3DS.
Wasn't 1 a phone game?
Oh, yeah. Can't forget that one.
Yes.
Oh, and yeah. Like, I hope you're up to date on that.
Wasn't it for flip phones or something? Or was it for smartphones?
I think it might have been for flip phones.
I think they may have re-released or something on modern.
Yeah.
Oh my
still
God.
Ridiculous to put a phone game into your canon.
Yeah, so I feel like everyone kind of had some story problems in that. It definitely, it's like the whole game, you're getting these tiny little, like, 30-second cutscenes that tell you absolutely nothing about the main story, just so we can get to another stupid Pixar world. And then you finally get to the end, and they just boss rush the hell out of you. It's like, even on a speed run, the last 30 minutes is just boss fights. And yet, I know they have the speed run categories that are just boss fights, but this is just boss fights back to back to back with zero breaks. And I'm like, so why couldn't some of these boss fights have been more sprinkled through the game or halfway through the game? Like, Kingdom Hearts 2 actually did have a pretty good balance about that, where he went through all the worlds, did a bunch of, like, plot important stuff in the middle with a bunch of boss fights, then went through all the worlds again. This, all the worlds, then all the boss fights at the end and all the story stuff at the end.
Wow.
Yeah. And then don't think that you were going to get good closure on the story either. This is Kingdom Hearts. I mean, if we're going to be spoiling things, like, it's like if you didn't think that Sora and Kairi had chemistry before, because every time he sees Riku, he falls to his knees and cries, and every time he sees Kairi, he's like, oh, that's right, you do exist. So, you know, it kind of ends with him going, oh, Kairi's soul's missing again. I guess I'll go bend reality and change it, but don't think that we're going to show the player this. And then if you thought the DLC was going to fix that, it was the same boss rush, but you could play as different characters.
Oh, boy.
And they charged $30 for that. And yeah, I think they did add like a new super boss into there, which was a nice bonus, but I was like, oh my god, I can't believe the DLC, which was supposed to have more story, was the same damn cutscenes again.
Now
you can fight the bosses as Roxas and Kairi and Riku and Aqua, who you could play as for like 10 seconds before. So, no. The DLC was just a slap in the face on that.
Yeah, that would be real disappointing. Especially for $30.
I was so pissed.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, my God, that was insulting. However, the game itself, I actually did get Ultima Weapon because doing all the side stuff was actually pretty fun. So if you were to discount that, go back, do the Flan challenges, find all the hidden Mickeys. All that stuff was pretty fun, actually. The Pirates of the Caribbean world was pretty fun. They fixed some gameplay issues where you can now swim really fast and not at the speed of, you know, sludge like you did in the first game.
Yeah, so, I completely missed the Kingdom Hearts bus, so.
I've only played, like, the very beginning of the first one, and then I think some of the second one, because my friend was like, you're better at video games than me, I can't play this section, and I played, like, some boat shooting section for them. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, you're doing better than I was. I was like, okay.
Well, the thing with Kingdom Hearts is that, yeah, it's much better to have it in the all-in-one collection. Thank God they did that. But every single game retcons all the other games that came before it somehow. And its complete mess of storytelling is somehow part of the charm on that series. I'm not going to say it's good, and I completely understand why people hate it. But if you kind of go into it expecting that and knowing that it's a mess, you can kind of see that's part of the charm for it.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not against it. I just missed it, and the control scheme seems weird. Like, every time I try to play it, like, I can't wrap my head around the buttons that they use for the things.
Well, you can always remap the buttons on the PS4. Some of the speedrunners do that.
Oh, no, I think I only played the first two on PS2, and then 3 I played right when it came out for some reason, and they didn't have a remap, or I couldn't find it.
You can do it through the PS4 system. However, 3's not going to make much sense without playing, you know, no. The other games you missed.
Yeah, I'm not anyway.
Yeah, I was off that train for a while until they re-release like the 1.5 plus 2.5 on PS4, and then I kind of binged them pretty hard, actually, because gameplay wise they're actually really fun. Recon, you need like a guide or tutorial to tell you how to actually use the system very well. They did not explain that very well, and they kind of simplified it for the other games, and it's like, okay, yeah, that now that makes sense. I kind of wish that they still let you ride around on fire tornadoes though.
All right. Well, now that we're all significantly bummed out for different reasons, we're going to take another break. We're going to hear from hopefully another podcast that wants us to advertise on this show. And then we'll be back to talk about our bad game that we still played way too much of. Well, some of us played way too much of it. All right. We'll be back.
Did you hear that?
Who's out there? Oh, it's you, a podcast listener. Well, I'm John.
Ooh, you really scared us. I'm Holly, and we host the Mystery of the Week podcast.
Guided by curiosity, we creep through the shadows to uncover the strange and unexplained.
Do ghosts use toilets?
Is my dad Bigfoot?
We are here to ask the big questions and seek answers by deep diving into a mystery or discussing personal experiences.
Mystery of the Week is available wherever you listen to podcasts or visit motwpodcast.com.
Bigfoot bless ya!
And welcome back. We are ready to... We actually have a terrible game this week. I think we skipped the last 2 weeks of terrible games. but we have one this week. And it just got a re-release. And some of us played it back in the PC days. And some of us are just starting to play it now. And that game is Myst. So
yeah, I think Myst was like the first or the second PC game I ever owned. So, and I did not own a lot of games at that time. And I played a lot of Myst. I at one point probably had the whole game memorized.
Wow.
Yes. I the story I like to tell was that I've mentioned this. I have no rhythm, and while I won't say I'm truly tone deaf, I am not good with sounds and music. And one of the puzzles, very last world of the game to get to there, is a music puzzle that I could never do. So one day I was talking to my friend, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I can help you with it." And so I just go through the whole game in like less than a half hour. She's like, "How did you do that?" I'm like, "I just remembered all of this because I played this game so much." And then we get to the rocket ship, and then she helps with that puzzle. Then we finish the last world of Myst, so that's how I beat Myst. Because up until that point, I could not figure out that stupid rocket ship puzzle because I'm so bad with sounds.
Wow.
But like, I literally blasted through the whole game. She's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "I'm gonna go rush the whole game now. I've played this game a bajillion times.
Myst is going on."
Yes. Well, it's not like that. There's like plot to Myst.
Yeah.
But there's not really plot to Myst.
Yeah.
It's like how much you actually care about it.
Yeah, I was big on, Double Fine, those LucasArts point-and-click adventure games. Back then, that was my jam. I like those.
Monkey Island all day.
Yeah, I like Monkey Island. I was a big fan. Like, I don't know if it's in my official top five, but Full Throttle is one of my favorite games of all time. But the reason that I liked those was because there was some sort of logic to them.
Even if it was batshit crazy logic.
Yeah, even if it was a little bit crazy, it was like, oh, I figured out, because this was like pre-good internet.
Yes.
So you sort of had to figure these games out. So I was over at my friend's house, and his dad was a big computer guy. So he always had like the newest computers, and then they would buy the games for the kids. And I'm like, "Oh, Miss, this is just one of these adventure games." And I could not, like, I don't think I got past the first, like, screen. It was so, like, that game is so obtuse. So now they just came out with the remake. It's on Game Pass. Once again, plug in Game Pass. Give us some money, Microsoft. We'll hook you up. But Game Pass, oh no, my alarm is going off. Talk about it for a second, Brandy.
Okay. So, yeah, so the new version just came out. I was less than impressed with it. It looks not, like, I guess I was expecting, like, really cutting-edge graphics, and it still feels very, like, 1993 with some nicer graphics. And then they made the change where there are little cutscenes with people in them, and in the original game they're like real people FMVs, and in the new version they're like weird looking CG people that are not good CG. So yeah, I was kind of like, I think part of, so I loaded up Myst and I was excited to play this. It's been like 20 years since I played it, and like I played a little of the new version, and I'm just like, one, wow, this game's super obtuse. I don't know if I'd have the patience today that I did when I was like 14 and only had a couple video games to play.
Yeah.
But I feel also it just doesn't have the same charm. Like, I think the graphics in 1993 were like, holy crap. And today these graphics are just okay.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, they're just okay.
But I think that was the draw for Myst back in the day, because it definitely looked better than anything. It was like looking at, you know, an arcade in the 80s and then seeing Dragon's Lair. It was like looking at, you know, Donkey Kong.
An obtuse game.
Also, yeah. Well, that one won't be on the bad games we love thing, because hate that fucking game.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that like part of what I really liked it as a teenager was it felt very enchanting to walk around in this world, and that's what kept me going in it. But this just doesn't quite have that charm in the newer version. Now, it, again, like I said, it doesn't look that different from the original. That's, I think, part of the problem is today you expect, like, you know, a game that's completely built on atmosphere needs a lot of atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's just not having that atmosphere. And I know one of the big things that they originally did was, like, they didn't want to have music playing. And so it's very quiet throughout the whole game. And I'm like, I get it, but there needs to be sound. Like, there just needs to be atmospheric sound.
Yeah.
Either you need some music or you need to, like, dial up the atmospheric sound so that there's more sound going on. And there's not really any sound from when I played. It was just very quiet and maybe the occasional sounds and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it just needs to turn it up a notch.
Yeah, I definitely haven't gotten super far into it, but I definitely got way further than I ever did in the original version.
Yeah.
But I think the thing, I think that might be part of why I do like it a lot better now, because it is smooth. It doesn't have that weird, like, moving screen to screen, you know, like.
Yeah, I'm actually weirded out by that, but because probably I played so much of the original mission, I'm like, oh, okay.
And I'm also getting a lot of just weird stuff happening that I'm like, I'm on this huge David Lynch kick lately, and like some of the stuff that's happening even very early in the game, I'm like, this is really like Lynch stuff. Like,
yes.
there's weird like red vortexes all over everything. There's stuff happening that I'm sure has an explanation, but I don't know if I'm going to get an explanation for them. It's very weird in the way that's hitting me right where I am right now. which is right in that Lynch gut that I have.
Oh, a lot of it's like really open to interpretation. There was, after the game came out, a book that like was supposed to be written by the guy whose journals you're reading that would fill in a lot of the plot. I ended up never reading the book, but I think that in the game itself, it just doesn't actually explain a lot of things. You just have to interpret that as something.
And again,
that's fine.
That's right where I am right now, because I also just watched a 4-hour documentary on why David Lynch's stuff is the way it is. So, it's basically, you know, it just happens and deal with it.
and that's
the vibe I'm getting from this new Myst. And you know, it might be the vibe that you get from the old one. I don't know. I never. But
that is kind of the vibe of Myst. It just, for me, I think, I don't know. I remember it being super atmospheric, and I just not getting the kind of atmosphere that I remember. Now, that could be super nostalgia tinged on my part. You know, we've gone 20 years, and I think that, you know, I think the other games have just done even atmosphere, you know, like a vagueness of what atmosphere is better, mm-hmm. you know, since the original Myst came out. So
this is also kind of giving me just the feeling and the look of everything is giving me sort of What Remains of Edith Finch vibe.
Yes, but I guess that game I felt was less obtuse, at least in terms of gameplay.
Yeah, no, that game was definitely way less.
It's also a game that is kind of very Lynchian. It doesn't quite explain everything to you. There's still a lot of vagueness going on, but that was a really good game.
Yeah, so.
But that game also had a lot of good atmosphere to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of what it's feeling like, just the way that even those shitty-looking CGI people look. Was sort of giving me that vibe. I'm also not playing it the way you're supposed to play Myst. I definitely have my phone like open.
Yes. Well,
so I'm
again.
Not, yeah, I'm not, I'm giving them, you know, a couple of minutes each puzzle. You know, if I can get sort of the gist of what's going on, I'll keep going with that. But if I'm like, doesn't make any sense. I have no problems looking up that shit on the phone. Just like when I replayed what's that Tim Schafer game, the Land of the Dead one? Grim Fandango.
Oh, Grim Fandango.
Yeah,
so
I was like,
that was one where I remembered everything when I replayed it, and it wasn't that hard.
That one, I think I replayed the least amount. So that one I needed to look up. But like Day of the Tentacle and Full Throttle, I could definitely blow through with just my memories.
I haven't played Grim Fandango before.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I tried to not have a guide, and I eventually cheated and gave
in. That one's super.
Admittedly, that is a tough one.
Yeah.
But this is kind of the thing of the timetable. In 1993, yes, I did have the internet, but it was dial-up.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your parent wanted to talk on the phone, you couldn't be on the internet.
Yeah. No, we had the internet back then, but I didn't even know.
Also, I think GameFAQs didn't exist until the
actual late
90s.
That's the thing. I wouldn't have known, you know, it's not like you can Google. You know, back then you couldn't have Googled, you know, Day of the Tentacle walkthrough and just got 50 results like you can now.
Yes.
But yeah, Myst is definitely that way. It's definitely if you had it back then and were able to power your way through it, I can definitely see it being a completely different thing than what I'm experiencing right now. But I'm still liking what I'm, because every once in a while, something so weird and out of left field will happen, and I'm like, cool. Like I was saying earlier, I went into, this is like right at the beginning of the game, but you go into this room and there's stuff on the walls, and one thing is a book and there's a piece of paper next to it. And you open the book and there's a red vortex inside and it sucks the piece of paper in and then it closes. And I was like, all right, I'm in. I get it. So yeah, that's it. It seems to be right what I need when I need it. So I think I'm going to get, well, I know I'm going to get through it this time because, like I said, I'll use a guide. I'm not too proud to use a guide for these games.
Yeah, and that might be the case with my replay because I simply just don't have the patience that I did.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I was reading a thread. Someone's like, well, now that you're an adult, you'll have, you know, you'll appreciate it more. And I'm like, no, I don't got time for this shit now. Like, I can't even tell you how much time I wasted on Myst. Because, yeah. It was like, well, I could rewatch Roseanne. Or, you know, my mom's on the phone, so I can't go on the internet. I can play this video game that I own, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I ended up playing a lot of Myst.
Yep.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed that game at the time, but it is just so obtuse. So obtuse.
Yeah, I was... And, like CJ said...
I played some obtuse games.
Yeah, like CJ said, Monkey Island, I played the remasters of those when they came out on like Xbox 360, and I was like, I don't remember, like, some of this stuff is like
why
would anyone ever think that this was the solution to this puzzle?
Well, now you know about the rubber chicken with the pulley in the middle after the first time. That one's pretty memorable. Fighting, that's pretty natural now.
Yeah, I think that's why I liked Full Throttle the best, because it had those weird puzzles, but at the same time, everything could be figured out if you just thought about it enough. Like some of these, like your infamous goat thing in what was that?
Oh, the Agatha Christie game that I was talking about?
No. There's a King's Quest, I think it is. It's a point-and-click adventure game, but, like, you have to do all this crazy stuff to get past this goat, and it turned into an internet meme. Like, you had to do something and then run past where it was at a certain time, and then you had to, like, get it wrapped up in... I forget. I think it's King's Quest.
That would make sense. The infamous goat puzzle.
Yeah.
There was one in
Broken Sword.
Broken Sword.
Yes. I played some of the original one, but I haven't actually gotten that far in Broken
Sword.
Yeah,
those were the Sierra ones. I wasn't
well, that's
a Sierra
not even
guy.
Sierra. That's a different. It's like a
It's not even Sierra. Okay. Yeah. It's a third tier. It's like yes. LucasArts, then Sierra, then whoever else made those games.
But yeah, no, that made me think of. It was an Agatha Christie adventure game that was based on, and then there were none. And there was a puzzle in that one where you can't get past these bushes for like the longest time. And they're just, you know, they're just some bushes. You're like, how? I can't get past these bushes. You have to find honey somewhere, put it in a jar. Dump that jar of honey on the bushes. You just have to know that you need to dump honey on the bushes. And then goats will eat the bushes because you have put the honey on the bushes.
Oh,
and then you can pass through the bushes. Which, up until this point, most of the like puzzles were pretty logical.
Uh-huh.
But that was definitely one where I was like, what? How would you even know? Like, goats eat bushes anyway. They don't need honey.
I'm looking up some other good puzzles. Gabriel Knight 3. From 1999, there's a puzzle where you have to use cat hair to make a fake mustache
yeah.
in order to disguise yourself to steal a guy's motorcycle, but the guy that you're stealing the motorcycle from does not have a mustache.
Oh, it's so dumb. All right, we're not talking about this right now. This could be an entire episode, not even a
yes.
subject, just an entire episode, of crazy puzzles from adventure games. But
so yeah, I think I've had my say about Myst,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, Myst is cool. Like, I get it. I got it back then, even though I didn't, you know, have the patience for it back then. And I sort of get it now. And these puzzle games are much more pleasant now that we can just look up the solutions for them. But yeah, I only have one bad review, and it is from the remaster, actually. And it's very long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's very snotty, so I wanted to read it in my snotty Metacritic reviewer voice.
Okay.
Reporting from a local time zone near you, this just in... Myst didn't really need yet another remake. Myst was iconic back in the early 90s. I should know, because this and the original Rayman were all we had on our Windows 3.1 PC at the time. The game has been released in dozens of different iterations for various devices, different operating systems, and consoles, so does the latest Unreal Engine justify yet another remake of what is ostensibly reskinned Real Myst? So that's all I'm going to read of this. It's like three more paragraphs, but it's just like, yeah, dude. Also, this and the original Rayman were the only things you could play on your Windows 3.1? Like, that
does... the longest time I had two games for my PC. It was Myst and the Are You Afraid of the Dark game, which had issues running on my computer, so I was never able to beat that game.
Yeah, I always had the, like, the shareware discs and all that stuff. So I was never hurting for games to play. Until, you know, they stopped doing shareware and I had to buy games, and then it was like, oh, now I have these games that I played 16 million times and also, you know, three LucasArts adventure games and TIE Fighter, which was awesome. So who else has a review?
All right. So I have one that I picked up from GOG with, I think this might actually be from the Real Myst version, the Masterpiece Edition. But really, this is just in general. Before Myst, adventure gaming was a vibrant genre full of fantastic living worlds with intriguing characters, story-based puzzles, and witty dialogue. Highlights of the era range from Infocom's early Zork games to graphical masterpieces such as Monkey Island and Simon the Sorcerer. After Myst, adventure games describe drab, dead worlds with no characters whatsoever, utterly nonsensical logic puzzles, and the occasional monologue. And there was that for a while, because then if you've ever played a text Zork game, and then you play the Zork game after Myst, the Zork game after Myst is basically like Myst and not at all like Zork.
Yeah, there was, I mean, Myst was a big hit, so
yes,
everybody, yeah, so people were gonna copy Myst. That's just the way, I mean, that's still the way that they do things now, is something gets popular and then everybody rips it off. You can see it with, you know, the cover-based shooters for a while after Gears of War came out, and, you know, just the way everything looked like Doom after Doom came out.
Yep.
So yeah, that is how it goes, but also at that same time, they were still, like, again, LucasArts was still making, you know, colorful, cartoony, fun adventure games. CJ, you got one?
But I would say not that long after Myst is when the adventure game kind of died out for a while, so...
Yeah, and it definitely did die out for a while, and now it's, and then it took a while for it to come back, because it may have been Broken Age that brought it back.
Yes, I would say.
Yeah. And Gilbert, what's his name? The other one who made the good...
Thimbleweed Park.
Yeah, Thimbleweed Park. Thimbleweed Park was really good. Like, I really enjoyed Thimbleweed Park.
I still need to play it.
It's definitely worth playing. I that was one where, like, my friends were staying over for a week and we just sat there and played it together.
Yeah. Thimbleweed Park is like it's like a point and click adventure version of the X-Files.
Yes, but more humorous than the X-Files.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like a spoof, like a parody, like a Ron Gilbert version of the X-Files. But yeah, definitely cool. Definitely worth playing. And again, it's on Game Pass. So you got a review for us, CJ?
I found one for the DS version, or the 3DS version. Yes. So
it literally came out on everything.
Yep. So, to make matters worse, the control setup is just plain awful. Being the graphic adventure game that it is, Myst requires lots of pointing and clicking, a task perfectly suited to the 3DS's touchscreen. However, all of this input actually takes place on the top screen, meaning that you must use the circle pad to move a cursor around. This wouldn't be too much of a problem if it weren't for the fact that the cursor is permanently set to auto-center.
So, it just, what, locked back to the center?
I guess. I mean, I can't say I played it.
Ugh. Wow.
And other issues, since it's a text-heavy game, the text is practically illegible in this version as a result of the terrible screen revolution, even when using the zoom feature. Audio logs, they're similarly incomprehensible and noticeably poor in quality.
You would think that if they weren't using the bottom screen to... like, be your cursor, they could have put the text on the bottom screen? Because I know I've played games where you could read stuff on the 3DS.
I'm not sure which screen had the text on it, though.
It sounds like it must have just been in the top screen. Yeah, like, they didn't really do anything.
Yeah, if they jammed everything into one screen on that thing, that would be the worst idea.
Yeah, they only gave it a 1 out of 10, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird because this is one of those games where, I mean, people have nostalgia for this game, and if you have nostalgia for something, it's hard to not to not give the game a great review.
It's definitely weird going back 20 years later and being like, way more obtuse than I remember.
Yeah. Like I said, that's what happened with me with those Monkey Island games. But yeah, I mean, point and click adventure, sort of, that's what they do. You can't You can't get away from that. Otherwise, it would
Yeah, but there's, like, obtuse, and then there's obtuse.
Yeah. But it's not like, if it was like in Maniac Mansion, you know, you pull the mat away and there's the key to the front door. Like, you can't do everything that it would be logical, or else that would be a pretty damn boring game. You have to do silly stuff like, you know, making, you know, repairing a rope with a rubber chicken.
And that's, I think, why those games still hold up after a long time, because it's the humor in those games that's really...
Yeah, and it's very hard to get humor right in... I mean, it's hard to write comedy. As someone who is currently writing a comedy, it's hard to do. But, but, like, to do it in a video game is even harder, because you have to, like, you have to get that timing... Because comedy is all about timing. You got to get that timing, but also it's still interactive. So yeah, that's a tough ask of anybody. All right, so that is Myst, and I think that's going to do it for us this time. This was fun. I enjoy having a new friend. Always good to have a new friend. And we will be back. I don't know what the hell is going on with the rest of these fools. I know that Kat is going to be MIA for a while. Regen just opened back up. And it's going to be... Yeah. So,
yeah, and then we're getting into the holiday season, so...
Yeah, so...
Beautiful new store. It's awesome in there.
So, yeah, we're going to be minus Kat for a while, but we totally get it. But also, go visit her at Regen. Where is that mall again?
It's the Towson Town Mall in Towson, Maryland. It's on the bottom floor next to Round 1.
Awesome.
So is that an arcade?
Yes, they have Japanese crane games in there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I heard that's a big rhythm game arcade.
I did see some in there, yeah.
Okay.
I had to look around. They have, like, bowling and pool and air hockey and everything, all that stuff, too.
Sweet. We're not really that far away from Maryland. I think we should plan a trip to go down there.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I think that would be fun as hell. Yeah. So, yeah, visit Kat's store. Links to Natalie and Chris's Twitches in the show notes. I am Michael Colby from Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex. New episodes out now. Generation Clash, we just did an episode on the very strange band Mother Mother, which I never heard of until my kid, you know, which is the whole point of this show. We also do The Real Boys, and then No Time to Binge, which is starting to go a little bit insane. It went from where we watched the first and last episodes and then tried to really figure out what happened in the middle, and then we had an expert to tell us if we were right or wrong. It's turned into this, like, improv comedy exercise where, you know, there's that one may be the dirtiest show that I do. There's a lot of talk about I'm not even going to say, just go listen to No Time to Binge. It's really a fun show. And those are all of my plugs. Go to Twitch and find a musician and give them a subscription, give them some money, give them some bits. It's hard for musicians right now. Can't get out there and play shows. So, or donate to your local live music venue, since we always do, donation stuff at the end of the show. Brandy, go ahead.
So I am Brand Chan on Twitter. Yes, I remember.
Did you forget
things.
What Twitter was?
Yes, I did. I'm gonna my friend recently started a Etsy store called Candy Wife Creations. She's making custom bags and wallets. So if you're interested in cool looking custom bags and wallets, check out Candy Wife Creations.
Is that a reference from the Misadventures of Flapjack show?
Maybe. It's what her husband calls her, the Candy Wife.
Okay.
Yes. So,
well, ask her if that's what it's from. Because
I'm not sure she would even know. I'd have to ask her husband.
The Misadventures of Flapjack is a wonderful show, which you should also watch.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really have any plugs. I'll think of one next time. If I could remember what my friend streams under on Twitch, I'd tell you to go watch her.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. We do plugs at the end. I'm the only one who has five different podcasts, but the rest of them usually plug something that they want people to give money to.
Oh, there it is. She streams under Lady Lenalia. Lady Lenalia.
Cool. So go watch Lady Lenalia on Twitch. And we will see you next time, hopefully with a little bit. I mean, we had more than two this week, so that's something.
Yes.
Hopefully the other ones will wake up from their damn naps. We do this once every 2 weeks. Wake up, everyone.
Yeah, we got to yell at them now. This is like the third time in a row where they've like been like, yeah, because they suggested this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we have a very active,
chat.
We have a very active group chat, and they're always in there talking. And then all of a sudden it's time to record and everybody's napping.
Yeah.
Bastards. We're not plugging anybody who's not here next time. Just Kat. Cause she like, that's not her fault.
She's got a real reason. Yes.
All right, but we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.